Revelation 11 today. Last week we were here as well, just looking at the first couple verses. Today we're going to go on to the topic that I teased a few weeks ago now, the topic of the two witnesses that we find here in Revelation chapter 11. So as we usually do, can someone please volunteer to read Revelation 11 verses 3 through 14? 3 through 14. Who would like to read that? Maybe someone who has not read before. I know we're getting a lot of people here, but everyone's all right. Laura, go ahead.
And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,250 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone would harm them, fire pours from their mouth and consumes their foes. If anyone would harm them, this is how he is going to be killed. They have the power to shut the sky, that no rain may fall during the days of their prophesying, and they have power over the waters to turn them into blood, and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they desire. And when they have finished their testimony, the beasts that rise from the bottom of the pit will make war on them and conquer them and kill them, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city that symbolically is called Sodom in Egypt, where their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, some from the people and tribes and languages and nations will gaze at their dead bodies and refuse to let them be placed in the tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry and exchange presents, because these two prophets had been in torment to those who dwell on the earth. But after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood up on their feet. And great fear fell on those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies watched them. And at that hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe has passed. Behold, the third woe is soon to come.
Very good. Thank you very much. All right. So here is this passage that speaks to these two witnesses. We're going to try to understand more of who they are or who they could be, what they were doing, what their end is, will be, and just some different aspects about their ministry. So we have here these two witnesses of the book of Revelation. A lot of speculation as far as the identity of who these two men are. I've heard even things like these two witnesses are the witnesses of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, somewhat symbolizing what they are. I've also heard that these are two angels that are described here. I tend to think that neither one of those is accurate, because these two witnesses will physically die and lie in state for 3.5 days in the middle of a city, and then they will physically rise again and ascend into heaven. So I think the symbolic nature, I don't think you can get into this text. There's too many things that lead us to a literal or natural or normal kind of interpretation. Yes, sir?
You heard the theory that they could be alive, yet they do not, because there's two men, there's no account of them physically dying on the earth.
Yes. Correct, and we're going to get to that possibility here in just a moment. So we're not going to view them symbolically. These are literal people, and John gave two ideas. So let's talk about these. One option, as far as who one of these guys could be, is Elijah. Okay, Elijah. Now, why would Elijah be viewed as a prospect for being one of these two witnesses?
Because he had already performed miracles for not letting rainfall on the earth.
Yeah, the description that says they can withhold rain for 3.5 years. Well, who did that in the Bible? Okay, that was Elijah. Okay, that took place during Elijah's life. Good. Why else would he be a possibility here?
He's a great prophet.
Because he's a great prophet. Yeah.
And he's a man of power.
He's a man of power. And John, what's another reason?
He didn't physically die.
Okay, so that would be a speculation why he would be one of these two. Here's another reason that is a little bit lesser thought of, perhaps, but in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, it prophesies there, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, what may come to your mind when I put that verse up here? Okay, what about John the Baptist? How does he fit into this? Because I thought he was the Elijah who was the one prophesied. Yeah. Well, there's at least some kind of link there, yeah. So remember, even John the Baptist was asked, "Are you Elijah?" And he said, "No." But yet Jesus seems to refer to him basically as that Elijah as well in Matthew 11:14, some kind of Elijah-like quality about him. I think there's something to the aspect that John the Baptist is linked to Elijah, but not in the fullest of fulfillment, if I could say it that way. Not the cleanest way to say that, but John the Baptist came before Jesus Christ as the precursor, the one wandering in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Okay, all those are obvious. And I think there is some kind of Elijah-like link to him. Yes.
But what's really interesting is, and when Jewish people do a Passover, a lot of them at their Passover table, they leave an empty seat for Elijah.
Interesting.
They're expecting him to come.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, Matt.
Also, the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were there.
Right.
So if they made an appearance on Earth before, it seems reasonable that they would be these two witnesses.
Right. Now, I think though John the Baptist had a link to that, I think there is a legitimate aspect to say Elijah himself will come, because even John the Baptist, when he came, it wasn't before, as it's described here, the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That wasn't Christ's first advent. That will be his second advent. And so the thought is, yeah, this verse has still yet to be fully fulfilled. Literally fulfilled with Elijah himself. So these are all reasons why pretty much everyone that doesn't view it symbolically, that views these as actual people, everyone seems to agree Elijah will probably be one of these two. Okay? As one of these two witnesses. Now, another name was mentioned. Matt, who was the other guy that you mentioned with this?
Moses.
Okay, so Moses is also brought out as a possibility. Now, why would he be included as a possible witness here? Okay, the plagues. Remember, the text even says that he would give them power to the waters turning to blood, verse 6, to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Well, that took place during the life of Moses. There's water that was turned to blood and all different kinds of various plagues that took place during his life and ministry as well. Okay, now, who is the third option? Enoch. And brought out earlier, but why is he thought of as a possible witness here? Because he never died. Okay, Genesis 5, Hebrews 11, both talk about how he was translated that he should not see death. He did not die physically. He was taken directly up to heaven. And Enoch was also, Jude tells us, a preacher of righteousness, proclaiming the judgment of the Lord and so forth. So there does... I mean, that's even at least in the realm of possibilities, I think, here, too. There's nothing specifically in the text that would lead us necessarily to Enoch himself, but some have thought Enoch would be one. And really the main reason why Enoch would be is because he did not die. And you say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Well, Elijah and Enoch did not die. So maybe God has in plan that these two men will come back physically and they will die. Now, what could be a problem with that interpretation?
Because those that are raptured will never see death.
Okay, those that are raptured will never see death? They're already there. But what? Is there anybody that has died, that has been raised, and died again? Yeah, there's a lot of people. Lazarus was raised from the dead, and he's not around today.
Well, and there's a whole bunch of other people.
A lot of other people, right. So the idea, to say the logical reason why this is Elijah and Enoch is because they have not died yet, and so they need to come back and die physically and be raised. Well, I'm not so sure about the theologic of that, because other people who died and were raised from the dead died again. I mean, that's what we're led to believe anyway. But nonetheless, this coupling of these two is thought of by some as being who these two witnesses are. Okay? Now, the other most prominent coupling is Moses and Elijah. These two are thought of by many as being these two witnesses. Now, let me give you a few reasons why, of those two couplings, this does seem to be the most viable option. Again, we're not told in the passage their names, but it does seem like Moses and Elijah could very well likely be who they are. And let me give a couple reasons for this. One, because of the textual descriptions here in Revelation 11. That's the most obvious one. They have power to withhold rain. They have power with the plagues. Well, those two very clearly have a link to Elijah and Moses themselves. Okay, that's the most prominent reason that is given. Another reason is because of their being with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. We have that told us in Matthew 17 and the parallel text as well. And you remember there that these two were seen with Christ speaking of Christ's death. And since those two were speaking of Christ's death there, it would not seem illogical to conclude that these two would be proclaiming his judgment in return as well. That's an idea with this as well. That they were seen just before his death, and they'll be seen again just before his second coming. And then a third reason is because they represent the Old Testament scriptures. So many times in the New Testament, the Old Testament collectively is referred to as either the law and the prophets, or even Moses and the prophets. And so now you have Moses, obviously the law of Moses, the Pentateuch. And then you have Elijah, perhaps the most prominent of the prophets of Old Testament Israel. Okay, so you have these two very prominent Old Testament figures being thought of as being these two witnesses for these reasons. Yes?
Why are they supposing that they're previous past people rather than two people that God raised up from at that time, that they are born and grow and raised at this time, they are saved and two new men?
That's not out of the realm of possibility. But again, we're just trying to infer based on scriptural ideas, who could they be? I've read no one who says that they're going to be someone who is current at the time. Mm-hmm. Now, it could be, but I just don't think we have anything in the text, at least, that would. Again, I go back to the plagues and the rain. Is that just coincidental that God says they can do these things since Moses and Elijah have done those things? I don't know. Again, we're not told their names. So, yeah, is it in the realm of possibility? It could be. But I think it may be these two guys instead.
So if Moses died, does he have the same form as Jesus's glorified body now? So in that case, would he be able to die if he has his glorified body at this point?
It's a good point, and that's really out of the realm of my technical knowledge. But if God were to bring them back, then yes, they could. I mean, God would make that possible for them to do. But again, that would be a reason then for Elijah and Enoch, because they have not physically died yet. So the idea would be, well, they haven't received their glorified body yet. That would be the idea of that. All right. We good so far? Any questions about that at all still yet before we go on? All right. Well, then let's go on here. We have in the text a spiritual idea of who these two guys are. Okay, so you notice in verse 4, it says, these two witnesses are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. So let's just stop there. So we're given this somewhat spiritual identity of who these two men are. They're two olive trees and lampstands. Now, what does that mean? What is that referring to? Anybody have any little marginal notes or... Say that again? Zechariah chapter 4. I'm going to put verses up here on the screen so you can see what those say. So in Zechariah 4, let's read a few verses from the passage. It says, "Now the angel who talked with me, Zechariah, came back and wakened me as a man who was wakened out of a sleep. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' So I said, 'I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left.'" And then skipping to the end with more description here. "Then I answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left?' And I further answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains?' Then he answered me and said, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' So he said, 'These are the two anointed ones,'" or you might have even a little marginal note, "the two sons of oil," as more literally there, "who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth." Okay, so it appears that this text here in Revelation 4, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands, is referring back to Zechariah's vision here that he sees in Zechariah chapter 4. Now, caveat, there's a whole lot here going on. And I did a lot of research on this, and there's still questions in my mind about some things. But I'll give you what I think is at least a decent idea of what these things could be referring to. Okay, so Zechariah 4 here, Zechariah is prophesying. The time period of Zechariah is after the captivity.